On today's episode of Let's Locums,
I do think it's smart to have some sort of history in whatever you're trying to locum into. I certainly have seen a lot of APPs that are coming fresh out of school and saying, hey, do you think I could locum in an ICU? And my personal experience, of course, would say it's probably not best for you. You probably will not end up enjoying that. They also probably will not end up enjoying you. I would say get comfortable with one area of medicine that you really enjoy. And then if you want to branch into locums, it'll be easier for you to do that because you'll have the basis that you need, the foundation.
Welcome to Let's Locums, the podcast hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer, ENT surgeons and the founders of SpecialtyLocums.com. Join us as we explore the world of locum tenens and help you navigate the options for a flexible and rewarding medical career. Welcome to Let's Locums. This is Mark Royer. I'm an ENT locums physician. I'm thrilled to have Alexis Pirik as our guest. She's an independent locums ICU physician assistant with an incredible journey in critical care. Originally from Des Moines, Iowa, she completed her undergrad and PA school at the University of Iowa and Des Moines Medical University. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Alexis ventured into locum tenens work to meet the growing ICU demand, ultimately transitioning to full-time locums in 2022. She's worked in various states, including Florida, Texas, Massachusetts, and New York, and developed expertise in navigating the business side of locums, working with over 10 locum agencies. Alexis is passionate about the learning opportunities, flexibility, and team atmosphere that come with locum tenens work. Alexis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I'd first love to hear what drew you to critical care medicine.
I initially wanted to actually work in the ER, but nobody would hire me in the ER because I didn't have any experience as a new graduate. I worked for about a year in a family practice urgent care situation and moved in with a roommate who was a fellow PA, and she worked in trauma surgery. They had somebody quit, and I begged her for an interview because I thought that that sounded very on track with kind of ER fast-paced life. She got me the interview. I begged them for the job, and there I was, not prepared at all to work in an ICU setting, ready to drink from a fire hose for a long time.
Can you share a memorable or defining moment from your early days in the trauma surgical ICU?
One time we had a trauma that came in when I'd been there for maybe a couple of years, 2 years in. We were a level 2 trauma, so we didn't typically take OB-GYN patients, but we had an emergent patient who's in a motor vehicle accident. We were the closest hospital. They came to us. She was pregnant. We realized that there was no fetal heart tones. And I remember looking at my trauma surgeon and she looked at me and we just thought, oh my God, call OB-GYN. They came over emergently and we had to do like an emergent C-section there in the trauma bay. And I'll never forget that being like the most highlighting event adventure for trauma surgery. It's just, you never know what'll happen
never
in a
know
trauma surgical
what's
unit.
What's going to come out there? What inspired you to transition to full-time locums? And what would you say have been the biggest benefits of making this shift?
Truthfully, it was more flexibility more than anything. Of course, there's other benefits. The highest ones, of course, being income is higher. You have the ability to travel to multiple different locations.
How long is your typical shift when you go and do an assignment?
It's typically always 12 hours.
You work multiple days in a row?
Most of the time, if I'm traveling, I like to do at least 3 days. A lot of the times, it's more like 5 to 7 for long-term travels.
How many different sites would you say you work at in given 6 months? Are you going to the 2 or 3 of the same locations, or are you doing just multiple states during that time?
There are hospital systems now in the last 2 years that I've worked with the entire 2 years. And I'm basically someone they reach out to anytime they have somebody who quits, PTO is needed, or somebody gets pregnant, they're out on maternity leave. So for instance, those might be some hospitals that I kind of work in the background where maybe I cover once a month or once every 6 months, probably like 5 or 6 of them. And I typically will have one long-term contract going at a time. So I have something in Tennessee, and I'm going to be doing that for at least 3 months, like 10 to 12 shifts out of the month. I'll be there, and then maybe I'll just do a few shifts here in Florida at some of those sites that I'm very familiar with that are nearby in my backyard.
I'm really curious to hear this because it does sound like you go to so many different hospitals. How do you adapt quickly to the new teams, the new systems, the new environments?
I think the key is just being flexible. You have to recognize that you are the visitor. It's their hospital. It's their group. It's their ICU. When I walk into a new ICU and I don't know anybody, I typically just try to figure out what the role was for the PA that was there before me that I'm currently replacing. And I try to emulate that, whatever that may be, whatever they're comfortable with, however they want me to do it. And really just that allows you to become one of the team quickly.
What would be your advice for a healthcare professional who is considering locums, but they may be hesitant about the logistics?
I think it's normal to be hesitant. I do think it's smart to have some sort of history in whatever you're trying to locum into. I certainly have seen a lot of APPs that are coming fresh out of school and saying, hey, do you think I could locum in an ICU? And my personal experience, of course, would say it's probably not best for you. You probably will not end up enjoying that. They also probably will not end up enjoying you. I would say get comfortable with one area of medicine that you really enjoy. And then if you want to branch into locums, it'll be easier for you to do that because you'll have the basis that you need, the foundation.
We were talking before we started recording today about the number of mid-level locums positions that Allie and I have seen requested of our company to fill. And one thing that really stood out to me was the number of different subspecialties of PAs. Can you give me some idea of the number that would be specializing, and then how do they go about doing that specialization? Is it a separate training track, or is it really you try to find a job and learn the ropes?
Most PA programs are 25 to 50 student sizes. I would say out of those, probably maybe 25% are practicing primary care, and then the majority are in some sort of subspecialty. It, you know, at least a handful of them are in orthopedic surgery, there's dermatology, only a couple that have gone into critical care medicine, they're everywhere, basically across the map. You could almost tell me any specialty and I could tell you, I know a PA that works in that specialty.
I know you've done a huge variety of critical care procedures. What do you find the most challenging or rewarding?
Most challenging, I think, is always any sort of chest procedure, thoracentesis, chest tube, mostly because your patients are typically awake and it can be painful if you're doing like a full bore chest tube. And at thoracentesis, you always just have to be very careful. At the same time, I love anything with an ultrasound. The more that I've done in the ICU, it's my favorite tool. I use it for absolutely everything.
Here at in IU School of Medicine in Evansville, they train alongside the PA. So they have a PA program, University of Evansville, yeah, and then the School of Medicine.
Mm-hmm. And that's how my program was. It was the same.
Mm-hmm. And they all train now with ultrasound. Like it is from day one that they go in. You know, I remember getting the ophthalmoscope and the otoscope. Yeah. But they do that, but then they also have their ultrasounds that they get. So sounds crazy.
Honestly,
from what you're saying, that it's huge.
Critical and so helpful. My new thing that I'm trying to become more confident with is bedside echo, because it is so critically helpful in an ICU setting when someone is decompensating, being able to take a look at their heart and give an idea of, is there any issues with their valves? Is this cardiogenic? Are they fluid down? Are they fluid up? It's something that without an ultrasound, you truthfully can't even really see.
Well, what a great tool to be able to utilize in your practice.
Yeah, that's the future, but it's been in practice for a long time.
Yeah, that's what's wild, right? Is it's been around so long, but it really seems like it's finally getting its fair notice and fair utilization. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about the business side of locum tenens with regards to PAs. You have worked with over 10 locums agencies. What lessons have you learned about negotiating contracts and managing schedules?
My first thing that I've learned is to always be your own advocate, always, and be your own CEO. Always remember what you are worth. I think all of us generally question ourselves and our own abilities and our capabilities. And truthfully, if a site is looking for a locum, they have a need, obviously you should be capable of performing the basic necessities of that function. But I have certainly worked with a lot of companies that I think it's a business. They're trying to make money on their end as well. So they may be underselling you typically primarily upfront. But if you come to them and you say, hey, this is what I'm making, or this is what I'm looking to make, and you're just honest with them, I think that will shut out agencies that are trying to look for more money. And then you'll find ones that you enjoy working with more, who are more of your advocate and they're pushing for you.
That's really great advice, really great insight to know your worth. Act like a CEO when you're determining where to go and who to work with. You had mentioned earlier that flexibility obviously is better, but also that the pay is better. On like a percentage range, how much more are you making at these locum shift, if you're talking like a per hour compared to a colleague who was working full time at one institution?
It's probably about 20%. You can certainly have a range well above that if you're pursuing just cost amounts. There's lots of locums opportunities that are going to pay well over what you typically are making, but typically that's for a reason. And I'm not pursuing my locations typically based on just the dollar amount. I'm typically pursuing them because I want to be in that location.
We've actually just started our first PA in our ENT. Mm-hmm. And when we were licensing them in the state, we had to name a physician that they were associated mm-hmm. with. How do you kind of work that logistically? How do you know who the collaborating physician is? Is it called the collaborating physician? And if you just say, hey, I want to have a license in this other state because I really want to work there, I may not have a job yet. Is that even possible if you don't have a site and a physician that you're working with?
So it's different for every state. Every state has different rules. Hawaii, for instance, is a state that is like that, which I have a pending license in until potentially I ever get a supervising position.
So you have the application done. It's pending. Yeah. Just waiting for that. Well, there you go.
Well, I almost took a job there, but then they found somebody who lived locally, which of course made way more sense than me. So I had done the entire application. The locums company had paid for the application, and then it just, you have to have a supervising physician to complete the last step of the application. So until you would get the job, you're right. You cannot, I have 2 years to complete this application in Hawaii, okay. Which will probably never happen.
I'll make you a deal. We will find you a place in Hawaii.
I would love that.
We're on it.
Adam, I tried so hard.
Move into the top of our list. We were going to find you ICU in Hawaii.
Please do.
We'll get you that physician.
It'd be great. But for instance, in Florida, you don't have to have that. In most states, you don't. New York, like the ones that I'm familiar with, Massachusetts, New York, Texas, Florida, most of those big states where there's also a lot of locum presence, you don't have to have somebody up front to get the license. You would get the license and then pursue the locums afterwards. And
that makes sense to me. Essentially, what they're doing is they're checking your qualifications, making sure you trained as you said you did. And mm-hmm. a background check. I hope they change that across all states.
I think that it will phase out when I graduate as a new graduate PA. If I knew I wanted to move to Florida, I wanted to move somewhere warm. I didn't have a job yet. I started applying for the license in the state of Florida the second I finished my test. If I needed to have a supervising physician before I completed the license, it could potentially delay your opportunity to work somewhere.
Our application for our PA went pretty quickly, but we had the supervising physician in place. What's the range in time it's taken you to get licenses in these different states? Well, other than Hawaii, since it's still pending.
Yeah, no, also depends. Each state is a little bit different. The longest state that I dealt with was Texas. That took 4.5 months, which was delayed. But yeah. I had an unfortunate situation where my representative, one of them got sick, was no longer my representative, and then I had another representative who unfortunately was in a car accident. So I kept getting tossed around. It was really sad, but it was just the situation. But most of them, 2 to 3 months, you realistically are getting your license. And if you're applying for a job, it takes 2 to 3 months often to get credentialed with Medicaid, Medicare, and actually starting with their position.
That's usually the bigger delay for sure.
Yeah.
The IMLCC, it's the Interstate Medical License Compact. If you apply through that and get licensed in one state, then you can very easily get licensed in like 40 other states. Do they have anything like that equivalent to that for PAs?
They do. It's actively being worked on right now. I don't off the top of my head remember the states because they just were not relevant to me. It was more of the Midwestern and into the West that actually is creating their own compact. And they're trying to expand it, but it's a newer.
What aspects of locums work do you enjoy the most personally?
Personally, I love the travel. Me and my husband, he works from home. So a lot of the times we get to travel together.
Oh, that's excellent. Which is
very convenient. And that's part of the reason when the flexibility was there before, it was a reason to do it so that we could see different places. We could go visit his family in the Northeast and I could be technically working there on the side. So it's a convenience factor. It's fun. It's different. It's exciting, just like ICU. So
what do you guys like to do when you're not at home, traveling for an assignment, but not working the assignment?
Really just kind of explore whatever city it is. Like for instance, New York, which I've been doing a little bit more of the last couple of months. We just love to go downtown and try to find new kind of Instagram-worthy bars and restaurants you can have a nice dinner at, jazz is typically playing in the background in a lot of these places. It's just a really cool opportunity to check out places that you would otherwise not.
What's on your bucket list for Locum's assignments? You mentioned Hawaii.
Yeah.
Are there any other either specific locations or types of ICU experiences that you're looking for?
Yes. Actually, where I'm going next in Tennessee is a bucket list, CVICU, which I'm excited to do more because I've been doing more and more CVICU, and I really enjoy that role where I'm becoming more familiar and more confident with pumps of different sorts and different sorts of ECMO, things that I'm starting to do more and more of that you don't see in, you know, the medical ICU or the burn ICU. And then of course Hawaii would be great.
I'm serious. We're gonna figure something out. I think we can help you with that. Where do you see yourself and the locums industry heading in the next 5 years?
I probably will settle down out of locums maybe in the next 5 years. For right now, it's great for us. Once we were targeting moving to another city in Florida in the next few years to be closer to some of my family. Once we get towards that, I might try to just have a full-time job there. But locums, for sure, I do not think will slow down. I think if anything, it continues to expand. Since I started working in COVID, I was worried that after COVID, it would decline, but it has certainly not done that. And as long as you are willing to travel, it will always be there.
I think you're spot on. I think especially for PAs, I think it's probably growing faster than physicians. I don't have data on that, but just anecdotally, what I've been seeing come through, what hospitals are looking for, it definitely seems like that's a growth space. What I love about what you do is you are working and you're taking care of patients, but you are approaching it in this way where you're just expanding your skill set. Because I feel like by the time in medical school that we choose our specialty and then go into residency, we are already so specialized that you really use these as an opportunity to just expand your skill set to be incredibly knowledgeable.
That's a good way, I guess, ultimately too, to the benefit of locums, is that you truthfully do get to expand your own knowledge base, your own experience. I even did a little bit of EP work in locums for CVICU that I covered, which now I feel so much more confident than I ever would have expected.
That's what my sister-in-law does. She's an EPNP.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, look at our license plate. She literally has it on there. EPNP.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love it.
So she loves it. Yeah.
There's things you don't realize in specialties that, you know, you just don't know exists. You don't know what you don't know until you're in it and you get to see it. And then you do. You learn so much more than you would have otherwise.
I've got the fast five questions for you here. Favorite city you've worked in and why?
Probably New York City, just because me and my husband love traveling and bopping around downtown New York City outside of work. The ICUs otherwise are pretty bread and butter, the same as any other regular ICU, but it just gives you the opportunity to see a completely different world out of any other city in the world.
Hard to compete with New York on favorite city.
Yeah.
Most underrated skill for a locums provider?
Procedures. I've worked with a lot of locums that are not as confident with procedures, which they'll still hire you, but it is a challenge in certain instances overnight, a lot of times on nights when you don't have that. Otherwise, from a personality trait, I've said this a lot, I think, but flexibility, I think, is a very underrated trait. If you are kind of a laid back, flexible person, you will find yourself easier to work with in whatever team you find yourself in.
What's one thing you always pack when heading to a new assignment?
AirPods.
Advice you wish you'd received when starting locums work?
Don't count yourself short. You are just as good as the PA or the physician or whoever it is that you're filling in was before, if you want to be.
Yeah, it's gold right there. And then finally, how can our listeners reach out to you or find you on social media, the web, etc.?
The only real thing that I have for locums is my Instagram, which is just @locumspa. So it's pretty simple as well.
So I highly recommend following you on Instagram. You said you've only been doing it for about a year or so.
Yeah, but, it's pretty great. New.
Locums PA on Instagram. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed chatting with you. I'm really impressed with what you're doing, and keep it up. And thanks again.
I appreciate it. Same goes to you. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Let's Locums, a podcast brought to you by SpecialtyLocums.com and hosted by Drs. Mark and Allison Royer. SpecialtyLocums.com is a physician-run locum tenens company. We're dedicated to providing the best locum tenens opportunities for our amazing healthcare providers. Join us every week as we dive deep into the world of locum tenens.
still